L.
Grimace Mugs, Hello Kitty Keychains, Teeny Beanies. For a limited time, your favorite McDonald's collectibles, filled with memories and magic, are now on collectible cups. Get one of six when you order a collector's meal at McDonald's with your choice of 10-piece McNuggets or a Big Mac. Come get your cup while you still can. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, big show planned. We get into the new mid-engine Corvette. Matt was there for the unveiling, so we take a deep dive in that. And we talk some prep for Monterey. We'll tell you about what's coming up for Monterey, our biggest weekend of the calendar. First, Zycote. Heat, the enemy of speed, man. Why? Because get the heat going under the hood. You can't turn up the boost. Can't get the pressure going, and you can't make the horsepower. It's a revolutionary Zybar. It's a revolutionary high temp coating. Dissipates heat, increases performance of manifolds, headers, exhausts, turbos, intakes. This is not a joke. This is not something you get at the Pep Boys. This is not the weird fire hose wrap you put around the headers. This is real aerospace technology. Zybar coats the metal surfaces and doesn't allow it to absorb the heat. It's great stuff. You can do it yourself if you're, you know, fair to middling in the garage. If you don't want to deal with it, you can send it in, and within 15 days, you'll get it back. They'll turn it around. You can hand in those, send in the header, send in the intake manifold, turbos and whatnot. And again, Zybar increases horsepower and torque, reduces metal surface and underhood temperatures. It is the best. We've talked to these guys. It's the real deal. Zycote.com. And you can click on the Zycote services if you want to send in a part, and they'll do it professionally and turn it around to you. Right, Matt?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a judgment to get them to Monday. Get it on. And welcome to Castrol CarCast. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm Adam Kroll. That's Matt, the moderator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
Over there. Lots of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm
getting excited for Monterey. Actually, I'm going to go to Detroit first with Goldberg for Roadkill Nights. We're going to do a live show there and drag race some Challenger 1320s, and then Monterey.
We're getting prepped for Monterey, so we have a lot of Monterey catching up to do. Also, you went and looked at the new Corvette, the mid-engine Corvette,
yes,
which I'm very interested in.
Big presentation.
I think
1,000 people.
People will be interested to hear about the first major architectural configurational change to the Corvette since its inception in 1953,
yeah,
or something like that, 54, 52. First, JB Weld for bigger, small projects. You need JB Weld. JB Weld does epoxy. They do super glue. They do resin glue. They do everything now, and you can get it at jbweld.com and Home Depot and Amazon and everywhere you buy adhesives. So, go ahead.
Yeah. So Corvette C8, this is a big deal. We got into some of the details earlier this week as well, but this is what we can tell you. It's I think it looks good. I think it looks better in person than I thought. All of the spy photos, or the photos with the camouflage car, I thought the proportions looked a little weird with the camouflage on it. But when you see it in person, it looks good. I know a lot of people are saying looks like an NSX and has some Ferrari to it. But on some level, I don't know. It's like a lot of mid-engine sports cars kind of are looking the same. You know, you kind of need a short hood, slant nose, but they try to make it look like a Corvette. So if you look at this thing straight on at the nose, it definitely has some Corvette look to it. And the tail's got a little bit of Corvette, a little bit of Camaro to it. But it's what's interesting is it's bigger than an NSX. It's bigger than a Cayman. So it's a little bit bigger than you would think it would be.
Well, everything's bigger than a Cayman.
Yeah.
Because that seems pretty small. But yeah, look, everything is going to look like an Audi R8. I sort of announced before we saw this car that it's just going to kind of look like an R8 because that's just kind of what modern architecture looks like with the mid-engine and the wind tunnel test and all of that. Look, if you don't care what the top speed of a car is and you don't want bragging rights for over 200 miles an hour or whatever, then you can make it look like whatever you want. But if you want to get, you know, I'm no aerodynamicist, but once you pass 175, you better start planning the wind tunnel.
Yeah.
And once you plan the wind tunnel, you go, okay, what are the rules? Well, four wheels, driver, mid-engine, 181 inches long or 200 inches long or whatever it is, you're going to end up with the same shape.
Yeah.
Basically.
It kind of does. And now so many sports cars, even Mustangs and stuff, they're all tested in the wind tunnel. Whether they actually go to the wind tunnel or not, we have the computer software to simulate it.
Right.
And most street cars, every Altima and Camry out there, has a little bit of lift built into it. So at highway speeds, it's a little less friction, a little bit better miles per gallon. Mm-hmm. But all of these sports cars have some downforce put into them, and that starts to play a big factor. The guys at Chevrolet during their presentation basically were saying, look, for where they want to go with the performance of this car, the mid-engine, the way it's balanced, the way it works was the evolution of this car for sure.
It's the Fosbury Flop. Do you know what the Fosbury Flop is?
No. Is that a cereal?
Sounds good.
It sounds delicious.
Fosbury Flops. Max Bata, Fosbury Flop.
Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Interesting. So, for many years in Olympic competition, when they were doing the high jump, you know, they put the stick across the bar and they were doing, you know, 6 foot six or whatever it is. It's pretty impressive. The way the guys would do the jump to clear the bar is they would run at it and they would dive over it and kind of arc themselves forward, chest.
Head first.
Head first, chest going over the bar.
Yeah.
Fosbury, was it Phil Fosbury? I don't know what his name was.
Dick Fosbury.
Dick Fosbury would run up to it and go backside.
Yeah.
And he invented a new technique where
they allowed that? Jeez.
Any way you can get over the bar. Now, everyone's, of course, like their first technique was like, I got to jump over this bar. So they started, they went.
Yeah.
He ran up to it forward, ran parallel, then turned backwards and arched backwards. Now, that's the way you guys know it, but that's not how they did it before him. So
how could you possibly know that?
Because I fucking know everything, but it's more like no one else knows anything. That's more of what it's like. It's not that I know everything. It's that there's something wrong with everyone else. But that's the way they used to do it. And he invented the Fosbury Flop. Now, the Fosbury Flop enabled them to now set new records. Like, you could only go so high with the weird technique.
Yeah.
His technique, now guys are jumping a foot and a half over their head. Like, I don't know what the record is, 8-1 or 7-11 or something. But, I mean, these guys are going.
When did Fosbury do this?
Probably 72, 68, 72 or whatever. That
68.
Okay. There you go. So the point is this. Now the high jump record is, I don't know what.
2.45 meters, which is almost 8.5 feet.
8.5 feet. So.
Yeah.
Now
it's good unless you're 7'9".
This technique enabled them to do that.
Yeah.
Now the Corvette.
Yeah.
Or any sports car with the engine in front, you could be a good high jumper, but you'll never get over it unless you move the engine to the middle of the car. You will never achieve what you could possibly achieve.
I
that's the Fosbury Flop.
Could be front mid or rear mid. In this case, they want rear mid. But maybe rear mid's going to be a little bit more of an advantage.
I also don't know what front mid is even first off, every car that's a front engine car, once they put it in race trim, will go to mid.
Yeah,
front
mid. I would imagine something like a Ferrari, like TDF, and even the Aston Martin Alsdurk, probably a little bit more front mid.
Yeah. Oh, those. I'm sure those Aston Martins are way back behind
the
front.
Yeah, they're got to be like halfway under the dash, beyond the firewall.
But I'm trying to think, can they be? And I know they're fast, and I know they compete at Le Mans, stuff like that. Can they compete with the Ford GT?
I just don't know.
Well, I'll put it to you this
way. Scott Dixon saying there's not going to be any more front engine.
Will they be able to compete? Could a formally constructed Corvette front engine, mm-hmm. we won't say front mid, we'll just say front engine, or an Aston Martin DB, whatever, front engine, 5 years from now, could it compete with the mid-engine anything?
Right. Could some over-the-top Pratt and Miller Corvette really go out there and do it? I just don't know.
I don't think so. So the answer is, if you want to look down the road, you've got to go to the mid.
You've got to go to the mid, and Chevy's on board with this.
Car looks good.
The car looks good. I think it looks good.
Interior looks good.
To me, it does. There's, you know, some people are talking about all the switches down the center console. There's a bunch of switches, but it's all like for the AC and the seats and all that stuff. But everything else, other than the volume control, which is a real button, everything else is on the touchscreen. The driver and the passenger are very much separated, like cockpits in a fighter jet, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's a cool look.
And it's a cool look. And I guess they're all Targa. They're sticking with that. There's a couple things that...
Removable, like roof panel that goes in the mid trunk or back trunk.
It does go. So there's a front trunk, mm-hmm. and then there's a rear. And the rear, probably why the vehicle is a little bit larger than, say, the NSX and stuff, mm-hmm. is they put a pretty big, deep bucket down there. You could fit two sets of golf clubs. I think that's four floor jacks in, mm-hmm. in real man's terms, but
right.
Two sets of golf clubs in there, and you could put the top in there as well. That was part of the strategy of why to make it so deep and give it some room. You can put the top in there. So this is what we know. It's about 3,600 pounds street weight, meaning wet, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it's 3350 or 3360 dry weight, but by the time you oil it up, it's about 3,600 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
It's got an interesting cockpit design. Instead of like the carbon fiber monocoque, they went with an aluminum frame, but the aluminum frame has a center backbone down the middle of the car. And they did that to make it easier to get in and out of the car. The carbon fiber monocoques have a big sill plate you got to step over, right? So this is a little more practical to get into. Now, they're sticking with a cam and block pushrod motor. It's completely new. I think they're calling it the LT1. Mm-hmm. And it is 495 horsepower.
Mm-hmm.
And the car is going to launch in a base model and then a Z51 package. The Z50, the base model, by the way, is like all season tires, mm-hmm. because they're going after the masses with this car as much as there are the masses for a Corvette audience.
Mm-hmm.
The Z51 package adds, I think, some better brakes and some aero stuff and a few other features, including the high performance tires. The high performance tires, obviously make this thing much grippier. 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds is what they claim with the Z51 package.
What stuff with this engine? Is there stuff on the shelf to bolt on? Is there stuff that superchargers that Edelbrock makes that'll readily fit? Or is there clearance issues?
There's probably going to be some packaging issues. And there's probably going to be – probably bolt patterns and stuff like that are probably the same. They might have to come up with new kits. But the idea of supercharging these cars and supercharging the direct injection mm-hmm. Versions of these motors has already been happening with mm-hmm. like the Ken Lingenfelters and the Hennessys and Edelbrocks of the world. So I would imagine you're going to see – You know, Lingenfelder's going to get his hands on it in no time and start working on it. Keep in mind that the Corvette is such a highly modified vehicle. There has to be a little bit of wiggle room from the manufacturer going, well, what if people want to do exhaust and put more tire on it and slap a supercharger or something on it? Someone's going to always do it.
Right.
Like the car's a little too new to be at SEMA this year, but how many of these things are we going to see at SEMA next year?
Yeah.
You know, like this year is going to be Jeep Jeep pickup trucks and Toyota Supras, right? New Supras.
Look, I'm glad that Corvette is still around, still strong, joined the modern car era, is doing what their mission statement is, which is doing what the Europeans do with a little less style, but about the same performance and, you know, half or two-thirds of the price.
Yeah.
And that's their thing with, finally, an interior that you could put up with. Like, in the past, it was just, oh, this thing, it'll lap the Nürburgring the same speed as the Ferrari 599. And it's like, yeah, but I don't want all the shit. The interior, I'm a rich guy. I don't want that interior, you know? Well, now this stuff's looking better.
Corvette's doing it with a splash of muscle car DNA as well, right? Having that engine back there, that pushrod engine. It could be the most advanced version of the pushrod engine. But it also, look, $60,000 base price, under $60,000 what they told us for the base price. Obviously, that gets you standard seats and the base stereo and all-season tires. But what do you – I mean, if you threw all that stuff on in the Z51 package, I don't know, where are you, 80, 85 grand? Can you get a car that does 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds? And you're right, laps the Nürburgring like a bat out of hell and has a great supercar look for 85 grand, it's going to be tough.
No. All right. I'll give you some. We'll start talking about prep for Monterey. Mm-hmm. First, I'll tell you about Zycoat. Just 15 seconds worth of Zycoat. CarCast brought to you by Zycoat for better engine performance, horsepower, fuel economy, lower underhood temperatures. It's the ultra thin temperature coating, reduces radiant heat by 90%. So check it out. Learn more at Zycoat.com. Zycoat.com.
Oh, one last feature that I love that I wanted to point out, because I didn't get a chance to mention this on the show earlier this week with Goldberg, is all of these cars are so low, especially the current C7 Corvette. Very, very low. Mm-hmm. This car has, I guess it's optional, has a front axle lift like on the McLaren and the 4GT. That's cool, but it has a memory function. If you rolling up to your house or work or the shop or whatever, you hit the memory function and it uses GPS. Mm. And it says, hey, you're getting near the shop. Mm. Maybe we should lift the nose all by ourselves. And it has 1,000 locations in memory.
Wow.
You just program everything once. You're going to your Ralph's store. You're going to whatever. You're going to your cars and coffee, the car wash, whatever. You hit it once, and whenever you even get near it, it starts raising that front axle. That is genius.
It always drives me nuts. I was telling Matt in one of my here's what drives me nuts conversations when they, and maybe Max Pat, I can't remember if it's RM or Gooding, but they'll have a Ferrari or they'll have a McLaren, and they'll be pulling it down by the sand to take a picture in front of the lighthouse, and you know they had it raised up to get through the parking lot, get over the speed bumps and stuff, and then they park it and they take a picture and the front end is up high.
Yeah, they didn't put it down.
And they didn't put it down for the goddamn photo shoot, and it looks dumb.
It looks dumb.
There's a white Ferrari that's like a one-off. It's a modern Ferrari, and I think there's a McLaren. It's the same thing. They obviously, the nose is lifted to get it into place because they'll pull it out onto the grass, out onto the golf course, or out onto the sand dune. I don't mean in the sand, but I mean like in the area that's picturesque.
Right.
And then the guy will get out of the car and they'll set up the camera. They don't drop it back down.
Like, any car that goes like gets displayed at the Quail.
Right.
Like, you know, we brought cars there, the Roadster. The Roadster front air dam just cuts the lawn out there if you don't take that thing off. You can barely drag it through.
Right. Now I'll do what everyone does to me. Oh, no, that car doesn't have the automatic front brake. Right?
Right.
You didn't know that.
Yeah.
I always want to yell over the fucking course it doesn't.
It's a 1969
idiot.
Roadster. That's not the point.
And I built the car. Yes, I know. Why do people work that way? They don't listen, I don't think.
Quail on the mind. I'm getting hungry.
Quail. Oh, man.
I'm going to stop eating now so I can get there.
Maxipad is ready for some caviar.
Oh, yeah.
I am I'm getting ready. We're getting prepped. I this funny thing I went by to... Sean and I have an interesting relationship over at the other shop. I came home from Portland on Sunday. I got here on Sunday, and I was like, I'm taking the 935 out.
Yeah.
Because there's only one day you can turn a couple hot laps around the block in this neighborhood, and that's Sunday. It's too much traffic and too much cops and too much everything on. But Sunday, it's pretty well cleared out. So I knew I was landing Sunday. I think we land about noon, and I just told Sean, just meet me at the shop at 12:30, and I'm going to take that 935 out. And I wanted to see how it tracked, essentially, what it felt like.
After all that work we did on it.
We had a really bad experience of taking it for RenSport and having to redo everything and make new, I don't know, control arms or whatever arms, and then put it back, and then it was all messed up. And this time, Sean put 1,000 lasers and 1,000 strings on it and plumb bobs and literally relocated plates, mounting plates,
built
and things
like that.
Built a
frame table to make sure it's
built
straight.
Built a frame table. And I think we have the center of the driver's side hubs front and back and the center of the passenger side hubs front and back. I think they're within.
It's everything is squared off.
Dead
it's
nuts
basically
on.
Basically just okay. Dead nuts on.
But I was scared that I was going to get it to the track and start heading out to track and start pulling one way or wanting to go one way or the other. Or I was going to go straight and the steering wheel would be turned at 6 o'clock or whatever. So I said, we could do like a Willow test session, but that's expensive. So let's just take it out. So I just told Sean to take it out. So we fired it up on Sunday. He said, do you want to put the hood back on? I was like, nah, we don't need the hood. I'm just going to see how it feels.
Yeah.
So I took it down the street. Of course, inevitably, when I was pulling back in the driveway, there was a shirtless dude standing and talking to Sean as I was trying to make it up the driveway. There's always one weird dude who has to come strike up a conversation like right when you're trying to pull back in. Sean's like trying to guide me in on the planks, you know, and weird shirtless guy is talking to him.
Yeah. It doesn't see the car, doesn't care that the car is there. See that Sean's trying to
the conversation,
flag in like landing
here's
a jet.
The conversation goes like this. I had a Nova in high school. slant six, but I put a four barrel Holley adapter on. Okay, I'm trying to get the car in here. I guarantee there's some hot high school Nova talk. I put center line. Oh, well, we had center lines on the rear.
Couldn't afford them on the front.
So I guarantee there's that. So anyway, I went and drove it. I just went up and down the street. I did about 5 block laps. I let go of the steering wheel and just see how it tracked. I turned a little right, turned a little left to see if it would keep pulling that direction. Yeah. I made some right-hand turns. I made some left-hand turns. I braked and kind of let go of the steering wheel a little to see if it would pull a little. It tracked really nice. It felt really good. Sean says he's going to put it up, take the rims off, torque everything, safety wire everything, and I'll probably just go for one more Sunday little lap before we do it.
And he was saying during the testing day, it'd be good to like get your feedback again, you know, after like a Thursday morning at Laguna Seca. It'd be a little bit of dialing.
I don't know that much, but okay. it's funny. I had a funny thing with Sean. So, you know, he's too good. And he doesn't like it when I get in the way of his proud craftsmanship.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, it's so goddamn hot inside this car. Why don't we put one of those Macaducks or Nacaducks?
Nacaducks.
Nacaducks. The Nacaduck. I said, I put a Nacaduck in the passenger side window last time, and then a hose that just brought some air in and put it on my face, you know. And then we went, then we got back, and then I said to him this time, I said, it doesn't do shit. It just doesn't do shit. And then I went over and I looked at one of my Newman, I think it was a Newman Oldsmobile Trans Am car, and I saw the same Nacoduct like in the passenger side quarter window.
Right, yeah.
It has a little piece of bent aluminum.
Just a little bit of, so to get some of that air in.
Yeah,
there.
They took a piece of aluminum that's like 4 inches long by like 2 inches. They bent it at like 3/4 of an inch, so like 1.25 inches just kind of flaps out.
Yeah.
They kind of rounded over the corners, and they pop riveted to it. So when the air goes by the Nacoduct, it just kind of grabs it and kicks it in. So I said, Sean, get me a, take a little flap of aluminum, just bend it up at 45 degrees and just tack it on there so I could, the air kind of kicks into it and knocks in.
Right.
He said, okay. I went by the shop today. He's fashioned this beautiful half dome out of aluminum. I mean, it is good. Looks like the hood of a
nice
DB5 Aston Martin, you know, and it's all made of aluminum, and he's working it like on the wheel and everything. And I'm like, Sean, that's a beautiful piece you're making. And he's like, yes, it is. I'm like, yeah, but all I need is the flap that kicks the air in. He's like, it's a nice car. And I'm like, okay. And
we then don't do flaps here, buddy.
Then I always go, how long did this take you? And he always goes, no time at all. And I go, it did. It had to take time. It had to take time, but it looks so good. And then he goes over and dry fits it and lets you look at it. And you go, and I have to be a douche where I go, that's beautiful looking. It's probably not going to work any better than that flap I'm talking about. But
I know, it's going to look good.
It looks good.
Someone at the track's going to admire it.
And then I said,
and he will be proud.
I said, you know, on the Newman car, they just went with a flap. And he's like, those guys didn't know what they were doing. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like some of them did. All right. Do you have you have something you want to present me? There's something
you're gesturing
at something.
Oh, yeah. We got a box here. But before you get your prize, I'm going to tell you about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You drop off dry cleaning. You pick up some milk. Now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Check out geico.com. Yeah, we got a box here. I'm going to swing this over.
All right. Update the screen for me, please, Max Zapata.
You got it.
Thank you.
This is a letter to you from Charles.
Charles got me a
birthday gift.
Happy late birthday, Chief. I tried to get this pulled together in time for your actual birthday, but it's just not in the cards. I contacted Cool Shirt and mentioned the Trans Am race. Apparent that it was never going to work out, as they were blaming it on the Trans Am people. So I got the Cool Shirt, Cool Pass of the
cool move of the day.
Cool move of the day, but I never walked home with the shirt. They said they're going to send it to us at a later date. At either rate, it was a Mac Tilton gift certificate situation where they gave you a $200 shirt, blah, blah, blah. Mac Tilton, I got the Mac Tilton Hard Charger Award.
That's right.
I'm a highly decorated American. I got the Hard Charger Award.
Poor old war hero.
That was in the BRE 510 over at Fontana. And then I lost the gift certificate, so I never got that either. And anyway, this system is a lithium battery operated portable, so you can take it from the car to the shop, or even strap it onto your back, walk around. Anyway, it's a cool. So sorry, Charles got me the what is this?
He's got the Cool Shirt, but he got the whole attachment here. So you fill up this
bladder.
This bladder with ice water. Stick one can of beer in there.
It's about 12 inches high, the bladder is, by like 9 by 9 by 9. It's sort of like the size of a
Right. Yeah, I guess it takes a battery. Here's a switch.
But it takes a rechargeable battery, which is nice. So you don't have to hook it up to your car's electrical system.
It's hit or miss on whether or not we'll have that charged.
Right. And it's got the cool vest.
And it's got the shirt and stuff. And I think there's like a helmet attachment he got as well.
Oh, I'm going to have to tell Sean. Knock off that vent.
Yeah, get rid of that stupid vent.
He's got the Healy Arc out now. Yeah. He's working on that thing.
We should probably make sure the shirt fits you at some point. And then bring this stuff to Sean so he can charge the battery and see if there's going to be a mount or something in the car.
Thank you, Charles.
This is great.
Awesome.
Look at all this good stuff.
Oh, my God. That is awesome.
There's all kinds of hoses.
I am sweating through my fire suit every time I get out of that thing. So
you should
that's
just
gonna
wear
awesome.
This and walk from one shop to the other because it's like 100 degrees outside. You can bring the battery ice pack with
there's
you.
There's a whole bunch of Mexicans putting in a driveway in on the street.
Yeah,
it's the
are.
Most miserable day to do that. I should wear it.
Oh, my God.
By.
They're dying out there.
You know what I'm going to do?
You stand there. Or just eat a popsicle, wear your cool shirt, like, how you guys doing?
You tell me, now, Matt, and I want you to be a good friend.
Yeah.
After we get out of the car,
mm-hmm.
and doing qualifying or racing or whatever, and after I've had a few beers,
yeah,
the somewhere between the 7th and 22nd time you hear me explaining, oh, my buddy Charles got me the cool shirt. You know, but he didn't have to because I earned the cool pass of the yeah. weekend when I was doing a professional. And that guy goes, yeah, you told me the story. You keep telling me the yeah. story that you'd already got one, but you didn't need one, but you'd earned one, but you never got it in the mail.
Yeah.
You need to tap me on the shoulder and go, stop telling that story.
Stop telling that story.
But,
I gotcha.
But only if it's with the same dude and only if it's between the 7th and 22nd
okay.
time.
Okay. 7 and 20 seconds.
I know myself.
I'm going to tell you because I'm probably going to be that dude.
Matt, I could have had this shirt 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I earned it, buddy.
That's right.
So, well, thank you, Charles. This is awesome.
This looks like good stuff, too, by the way.
This is weird because 25 minutes ago, I was standing in the shop talking to Sean about cooling myself off inside of this car.
Yeah.
Which I don't have that many conversations about cooling myself off inside of the car. And
no.
I was having that with Sean.
But it pops in your head because you walk outside right now and it's 100 degrees and you're like, oh, hot. And then
it
you see the
hot,
car.
It was hot, but I told him to work on that neck a duck thing earlier. Anyway, the other thing was... We're just going through the car. So anyway, everyone's getting sort of mentally and physically and whatever emotionally yeah. and car prepped. We're all getting ready for Monterey, and we hope that you guys who are listening will come by. And you do every year, but it's fun. You come by with your dad or your son or whatever,
yeah.
and you take a picture and you say hi. You're not going to
bother
us. Saturday's
going to be the best day. Come out. We'll be at the track all day Saturday, and then go see your show Saturday night.
Yes.
If you're going to go there for like the one day, Saturday is pretty much the time to do it. So,
right. That's a nice kit. And thank you very much, Charles. I have a funny email I sent to Nate. You know how I'm trying to think who Max Pata, who's worse at interpreting emails, Nate or Mike August? now, they both have very different styles.
Yeah, they do.
Like Mike, you know. Like Mike, you can go, Mike, are we leaving from Burbank or Portland? When we're going to Portland. So you can write him an email entitled Portland Flight. And then you can write him a note that says, are we leaving from Burbank or LAX? And he'll just write back, not yet.
Yeah.
And then you'll have to write him another email.
Yeah,
he'll never give you an answer.
Yeah. So Mike...
That could be the day before
exactly,
the flight.
It's exactly yeah.
right.
It
so that's Mike's version.
Yeah, he battles back with an even more confusing message.
And so little information, too.
Yeah, Nate just good old-fashioned misinterpreting things.
Yeah, and Nate's thing is like you will ask three questions and you'll get one answer. And now you have to go around two and around three. Literally, if you bullet point them and go, I have three questions. Number one, period. Sentence number two, period. You still get one answer.
I do like though that it means generally they're both busy and distracted, but I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but I've been looking for this goddamn footage of me driving a goddamn roadster at Laguna Seca. Ooh, where I won the Rolex Cup. I'm a highly decorated American.
The Rolex Cup? Did you win the Tilton Hard Charger the same event?
No.
No.
I just told you the Tilton Hard Charger was the BRE 510, that was at Fontana.
Fontana. Oof.
Stupid place to bring that car. Could have used a cool suit there.
Sure.
Yeah. So I've been looking for this footage for 4 months, and we've used it, not well, but we've used it in going racing. I've seen the footage we've used of it. So it's in our computer. I don't know where the disk is, but the computer... Right. It's on a hard drive somewhere.
Yeah.
And I keep saying, I want this footage. Where is it? And then months and months. I had no idea what it'd be like being the boss, because I just like make these proclamations, and then 4 months goes by, and then I go, I want this footage. And then they go, what footage? And then we have to get in this long conversation. And then I go, 2011, Laguna Seca. And then they go, our footage? And I go, no, Speed Vision. Speed Channel took the footage.
Yeah.
It's professionally shot. We have it. We used it on multiple occasions. Yeah. So we downloaded it. We burnt it onto a hard drive. Where is it?
And we have a copy on a disc, on a DVD, because you and I watched it at your house at one point.
I think took the DVD and burnt it down.
Okay.
All right. So
now there's two copies.
I don't know where the DVD is. That could be on me.
Right. But there's a DVD and a hard drive version.
Nobody knows where anything is. But I know there's a hard drive because I have it on a computer. So I wrote Nate. So every 3 months, I just renew. I just go, hey, where is that footage? Have somebody find it. So I wrote Nate what email?
Subject line, this is this morning, 10:27 a.m. Subject line, still looking for that Monterey Roadster footage from the Speed Channel. And the message reads, we had the discs. We burned it onto a drive. We used some of the footage poorly for the Adam Goes Racing in Goodwood for the Z car. I asked the guys weeks ago if we could find that lost footage, but no one has been able to find it. It's probably on a hard drive somewhere. Just wanted to follow up. Thanks.
All right. Then I went and talked to Nate, and I said, Nate, where is that goddamn footage? And he said, you were driving the Z car? And I said, no, I'm driving a Roadster. It's at Laguna Seca. You have it in your shows. There is no roof. They pull in tight on me. Yeah. I don't know how many times to tell you this. And then he goes, you sent an email. It was in the Z car. And I went, I told Matt to write the email, but I didn't tell him it was in the Z car. You said Z car in the email. I said, are you... You got to be kidding me. In the email, you said you're driving the Z car. Mm-hmm. I said,
sounds suspicious.
I said, okay. We went to his office.
Because that's the identifying mark. So I think you would have said.
I said, read the email. And he's like, okay, blah, blah, blah. Looking for footage. Z car, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and I stopped and I went, I owe you an apology then. If Matt misheard or Matt miswrote, if he said looking, if it says Z car, then sorry, Matt wrote something or I said something wrong to Matt. And then he went, yeah, the heading is looking for Roadster footage from whatever. I said, no, yeah. What's the heading again? Looking for Roadster footage. Okay. What's the bottom part? Going to Goodwood with the Z car, because we've been to Goodwood twice, once with the 935. And once with the Z car, when we did Going Racing from Goodwood with the Z car, we did use the Roadster footage at the top saying, I drive vintage cars. So the reason I made the delineation was we used it at the whatever. So not only
in that episode, in the Z car episode, we used that footage
from Goodwood,
which is what he should remember because he cut the episode.
And Nate was like, you said Z car. And I was like, well, otherwise, you'd have two Goodwoods to choose from. I was specific, but what is the title of the email, the subject again?
Still looking for that Monterey Roadster footage from the Speed Channel.
Okay.
Okay, look.
We don't have footage from the speed show. It's only that footage. Like, Chris, how many times have we gone into this?
I know exactly what you're looking for because you've explained it to me to look for it within the archives here as well. So, and you couldn't be more clear about what you want, especially
haven't
since this has been months.
It here on CarCast like seven times over the years?
This has
right?
been months of you explaining what it is. So it's weird that it resets every single time you bring it up.
This is the majesty of almost everyone in my life. the resetting, the back to zero of not even knowing. You want Z-Car footage? Like, no. I've driven the Roadster once. Once, and we used the footage. I don't know where the rest of it is. Yeah. Where is it?
If somebody read the email, and then saw Roadster at the top and Z-Car mentioned in the body, they could say, could you please clarify Roadster or Z-Car? If you've read the email.
this sentence is very clear. Let me read it again. Yeah. We used some of the footage for the Adam Goes Racing in Goodwood for the Z-Car.
Right.
Yes.
Not in the Z. It's because you're clarifying.
No, I see what you're saying. You're describing the episode of Adam Goes Racing. The reason why you say that is because that's relevant to Nate. Nate cuts and his team cuts together Adam going racing with Adam Carolla. So
right. Yeah. There's where we used it in this episode.
Yeah, if you would have said the auction episode with the Aston Martin or
right.
that's he's putting it in the context of the editors, what they would recognize. So I see what you did there.
Thank you.
It couldn't have been any
to no avail. To no avail. We're in the Z-Car. Okay, everybody.
Good news is you got a cool little Nacoduck.
I do, and I got
my cool shirt.
Got my cool shirt. All right, should we play Glue or False?
Yeah.
With JB Weld sponsoring. Do you got it, Max Pata?
Got it right here. Here we go.
Let's play Glue or False. Brought to you by JB Weld, world's strongest bomb.
I got some JB Weld facts here, and you guys are going to guess if it is glue or false.
Okay, mm-hmm. How are we doing this? We one at a time, or we each throwing a vote?
Yeah, throwing a vote.
All right.
We'll tally up the points.
Okay.
We'll see who knows JB Weld more. First fact. JB Weld was founded by a Texas woman and her husband.
Mm.
That is glue.
Mm. Yeah, I know they used a chemist. They found a chemist. I'm going glue.
Marion Sam Bonham, that's a true glue fun fact.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next fact. Epoxy is only for professionals.
Well, hold on. I did have Rob use epoxy once, and then like 2 days later, I'm like, this stuff is still wet. What's wrong with it?
He did an entire floor that way.
And he's like, I used the epoxy. I'm like, did you mix it right? And he went, what do you mean mix?
Yes.
And I'm like, you put the two parts? Oh, there's two parts? So maybe
he had
it
to scrape up like 6,000 square feet.
I think that was on Dunn Edwards. Yeah. That was another story. I'm going glue. False.
It's false. However,
there's some people.
There's a caveat.
Well, you both are right again. It's false. Anyone can make epoxy repairs themselves. In fact, epoxy will give you the strongest permanent bond.
It's a little light and loose on the anyone part, but go ahead.
All right. Next fact.
Not anyone should.
JB Weld original epoxy has been used countless times to repair a cracked engine block and other vital metal engine parts.
Well, by the wording of this... Now, sometimes...
Has it been used? Probably.
I'm going to go true.
That's not an option.
Oh, sorry. Glue. Sorry, glue.
Matt?
The question is, has it been used?
Has been used countless times.
Glue? Yes.
Glue. It's glue tested at over 5,100 PSI strength. That's right. We got one more here for you.
All right.
JB Weld is proudly made in the USA.
I'm looking at some copy here that says made in the USA.
Well,
so I'm going to go glue.
Okay, let's do a different one then.
Glue? I'll bring it home. I'll go glue.
I'm proudly? Sure.
Yeah. Yep, that's true.
That's good.
It's glue.
It's glue.
There was one guy who was working on the factory floor, J.B. Weld, was not proud, and they kicked his ass right out of that place.
I mean, he was lukewarm on it.
But he was not proud. All right.
That's been Glue or False. Thanks for playing.
Thanks for playing Glue or False.
A lot of Rock production value.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. World's strongest bomb.
J.B. Weld for big or small repairs, home or garage. It's always J.B. Weld. You need something that lasts. We're proud to have J.B. Weld's epoxy adhesive as one of our sponsors. And you keep it in the toolbox, kitchen drawer, or what have you. Craft room, good for metal, wood, plastic, and more. Made in the U.S. of A, pros and DIYers have used J.B. Weld for, well, 50 years, more than 50 years. We use it here. I use it, I think Stromer fixed a skag on his catamaran. Guy's got a fun life. And it worked just fine. It held like the whole summer. Available at jbweld.com. Home Depot, Lowe's, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, O'Reilly. It's good stuff. Go get it. Good sponsor. JB Weld, world's strongest bond. You're driving the Volvo Hybrid. What is that
like? So, first of all, it's a small motor. It's like a, I don't know, 2 liter, but it's supercharged, turbocharged, and a hybrid electric motor.
It's like the Grease Mobile, the Grease Lightning Mobile, when they're singing about it.
Yeah.
Electroplated, disseminated, doing like
Louis
Farrakhan.
Yeah, I don't remember. There was just a lot of preaching.
A lot of preaching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we drove. You know, we drove the S60 and the R design, R Sport version, and it was great. And then the XC90. This is a big car for them, and that SUVs are all over the place.
Was there
a
Palestinian guy crying in the passenger seat, writing a letter to his daughter?
No, but wait, I just saw there's a movie coming out, and I could swear the intro to the movie is like the Volvo commercial. Man, it's going to come to me in a minute. But
The Volvo looks... The Volvo used to be sort of fringe weirdo car, like sort of weird hippie car. It was like a Saab.
The
kind of the people that were off the beaten path drove the Volvos and the Saabs. Now Saab is defunct, but the Volvo looks a little more muscular, like a little tougher and a little better. And I don't know how the interior is or the performance is, but the aesthetic of all the Volvo line across the board looks good.
It's really nice. By the way, I want to say Beetlejuice 2. Check out the trailer real quick for Beetlejuice 2 and tell me if that whole beginning of the trailer isn't the Volvo commercial. It's fantastic. The interior is great. It was so hot this morning getting here. Cranked the air, cranked on the cool, ventilated seats. And the sound system is fantastic and has this great like concert mode, and they did such a nice job on it. But now when you start doing the SUV, which is a 3-row, and you do it with the big engine, the T8, and the hybrid, it's $85,000.
So
it's getting on the high end.
So it's this thing we run into all the time, which is, oh, so-and-so is up their game. Now they got the performance, and now they have the materials and the leathers and the interior and the wood inlay and the dash and all that stuff. And you go, yeah, now it's as much as a BMW.
Yeah.
And now we got to make a choice.
Well, I drove the Jaguar F-Pace SVR, the real fast, and that was... fully loaded as I drove, it was 89,000. It starts at, I don't know, 79.
So where do you put the Volvo? What, you like it?
Well, I like it. It's a good size 3-row. Mm-hmm. It's a little on the high end on price, I think, because, where is that going to compete with, say, the Lincoln Aviator, which we really do like? I think you maybe look at both of those and drive them and see how you want to.
At the end of the day... They're both nice, the sound system, interior appointments, everything. I'd pretty much just go for range. Like,
One
car can beat the other car by 100 miles, I'll buy it.
This is a plug-in hybrid, the Volvo, but it does, like, if you just use battery, it's like 12 miles. Mm-hmm. You could plug it in, but there is a setting on the dash. Like, if you just wind down the battery and you're just driving, sitting on the freeway, you can hit the button to charge the battery, mm-hmm. and the engine will kick in and won't automatically turn off, and it'll charge the battery in the process. But it's nice. It's nice, but you definitely got to cross shop it, because I never really thought too much about Volvo, and now that I'm impressed with it, you do want to go against BMW and Audi and the other luxury brands out there, Lincoln and stuff. But
All right.
Let me tell you guys about Castrol Edge. Castrol Edge is stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep metal apart and fight power-robbing friction to unlock exhilarating performance. It's three times stronger.
Three times, fool!
Than the leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown per the Kurt Orban test in a 5W30 viscgrade. Edge formula always exceeded the toughest industry standards, but the new and improved formula incorporates the latest technology that makes it transform to be the strongest when pressure is highest. It's Castrol Edge.
All right. I'm going to be at the Canyon tonight in Montclair, and then that's Friday night. Then Saturday night, the 27th, I'll be at the Canyon in Pasadena, and that'll be with Adam Ray. And then Sunday night, we'll be at the Canyon in Agoura Hills, and Tommy Lee's going to be there. He'll be up there with all his guests, and he's not performing, but you can say hi to him. And Adam Ray is going to be there as well. Monterey, Golden State Theater, coming up August 17th. We got the Portland World of Speed. I'll tell you about that in the next pod, because I did go there. It's a beautiful museum and state of the art. Come say hi. Yeah. That'll be August
30th. We're going to interview Mario Andretti.
Right. We're doing a live show there. And go to AdamCarolla.com for all the stuff you need, and meme gods and when we went mad and all that good stuff at microventures.com. Until next time, Shift and Steer as well. iTunes, podcast one. Until next time, Adam Carolla, for Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea saying, keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
Grimace Mugs, Hello Kitty Keychains, Teeny Beanies. For a limited time, your favorite McDonald's collectibles, filled with memories and magic, are now on collectible cups. Get one of six when you order a collector's meal at McDonald's with your choice of 10-piece McNuggets or a Big Mac. Come get your cup while you still can. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
At participating McDonald's for a limited time while supplies last.